Hello, and thank you for clicking on a Token.com downloadable interview with me, Paul Johnson, all about Croperty, all about the pre-Croperty, and I'm so pleased because I'm sitting here talking to the one and only Josh Burnell. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. How are you?
I'm all right. Yeah, it's great to talk to you because I saw you play at the Great British Folk Festival.
And, yeah, that was a great gig.
I loved it because it was kind of like, couldn't quite get the gist of it first. And then after about 5 minutes into that, I kind of got drawn in. Quite a different style. You're not easy to pigeonhole, let's say.
Yeah, I think I like to find the line, wherever the line is between one thing and the next, that's where I'm going to try and be, constantly challenge people to wonder what exactly is going on.
And you did. It's exactly what you did, because the Great British Folk Festival, I went in there expecting to see quite a big band, quite a full ensemble, really. It had lots of instruments. I thought, God, this is going to rock. This is going to be good. And it did rock. But it was like a bit proggy. And I thought, it's a bit prog rocky. I love it. But then, all of a sudden, from out that sort of prog rock, it sort of swept over and you'd get like a jig or a reel coming in. I love that.
Well, I think in my early days of listening to folk music, when I was first introduced to it, I discovered Steel Eye Span. And I thought, well, if they can get away with it, then anyone can get away with this, because they've really pushed it as well.
I noticed when you first kind of broke on the scene, you decided to do one folk traditional arrangement every week for a year.
Yeah. Well, it was kind of, I guess John Bowden beat me to the day thing, because he did one a day. But I was thinking I want to try and arrange them a bit more to make them studio productions. So there was kind of a whole band thing going on with every release. So yeah, it took me a year to do, obviously, and it was absolutely exhausting, but I learned loads. It was really worth it. I had to have a break from listening to folk music for about 6 months afterwards, because I just completely saturated my brain with it. But it was really worth doing. And to be honest with you, I still get requests from people now saying, where can I find the Seasons Project?
And can they get it? Can they get hold of it still?
Yeah, well, I've got 5 copies of the Winter album left, so wow. Only just, but yes.
Well, okay, you'll have to do some copies, recommend, get a surge of interest after this. Well, certainly after your Croperty performance, which is coming up.
Yeah.
I mean, that's terrific news. Just before we get into Croperty, Glass Night, your new album, is ready to go.
It's pretty much ready to go, yeah. So it's all recorded and sent off to press and radio, and it's very exciting.
How long did it take to make this?
Well, it's been a
You're going to turn around and say, yeah, did it in a week?
Yeah, no, not a week, definitely not a week. So the actual recording took about 3 months, I think. But there's been various forms of these songs right the way back till 2019.
Oh, yeah.
Some of them are here. As you know, a lot of people have got songs that hang around for a while. It's been a question of picking the right songs to go together, because this feels a bit like a redefining album in some ways. It's very, we just talked about how difficult I am to pigeonhole, but I'm yet again skirting out of that previous pigeonhole to keep this metaphor going. But yes, it's a bit more contemporary pop rock, I suppose. A bit concept albumy, a bit influenced by glam rock. I'm not sure myself, really. Someone once said it'll keep the genre police in tailspin, which I thought was a great description.
That's a really good description. I would say also, like, Joshua Burnell, a moving target.
It's like, there's a good one. I'm going to write that down from a press page.
Get that in your page. Yeah.
Moving target.
Yeah, it is, though, isn't it? Because it's like, oh, yeah, I know what Josh does. Oh, no, I don't. Well, he did that last time, but no, maybe he's doing something different. That's right.
Yeah.
But it's strange you talk about concept albums. Did you see Glastonbury?
Saw clips of it. I wish I'd been there, but I saw clips of it.
I grew up with those big gatefold albums, do you know what I mean?
Mm.
And they had wonderful artwork. And when Elton John was playing and he did Someone Saved My Life Tonight from the Captain Fantastic and the Brown Dirt Cowboy album, and it just took me back, right back to sort of opening those gatefold albums with those wonderfully painted imagery and photos and the song. Such a great song to do live. And I still like that. I think that's still missing in these little CD covers. I think maybe we should bring back like Josh Burnell concept album.
Oh, well, my first album, Into the Green, is exactly what you just described. Yeah. It's a gatefold sleeve with artwork by Ted Nasmyth and double LP.
But I just feel good, don't I? And isn't it? I don't know about you, but it's like when you open it up and you actually hold it in your hands and read it whilst you're listening to the album.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. It just does.
I love it.
Oh, I do. I mean, that took me straight back to when I was young and playing it on my dad's old hi-fi, yeah, which was quite a good hi-fi. Time hi-fi. Anyway, I digress. Going back into our childhood music influences here. You're doing Cropredy. I bet you're well pleased for that, aren't you?
Honestly, it's a dream come true. I'm still pinching myself. It's actually happening. I think every gig we've played since the Great British Folk Festival that you mentioned, someone said, oh, you have to play Cropredy. You have to play Cropredy. So now that it's actually happening, I'm not sure I believe it. I'm going to wake up in a minute.
Isn't it one of those things that you just live for? And you, I go every year, and I've seen so many bands there that when they have played, it's completely changed their musical careers. I mean, one that springs to mind, just one, I mean, there's hundreds, was Shave the Monkey. I don't know whether you're familiar with that band.
Yeah.
They played Cropredy one year, and my main memory of that was Caroline's bass. I don't know who did sound on that day, but it was absolutely amazing. I was standing up by the burger stall or wherever it was, and the bass was going through my ribcage. And it's like kind of that and Caroline's voice drifting across the field. And Guido told me in confidence about he sold so many CDs on that day up at his merch stall that he was actually carrying a carrier bag full of cash.
Oh my goodness,
that's
terrifying.
He was panicking all weekend because he had all this money on him where they'd sold so many CDs. And I mean, obviously, it's a cracking thing to play. How did you get it? You know, without letting too many trade secrets out, how did you get approached to play? If you can tell me. Or do you have to kill me after?
In one word, graft. So for years, then we've been strategically playing in various locations around the UK to build up a following, to build up a CV. It makes it sound very boring when you put it like this, but it's kind of like any other job progression in that you've just got to build up a CV, a portfolio of what you've done, playing lots of other festivals, trying to get the music under the ears of the right people. And then we were really lucky at the end of COVID to sign up with an agency, Nearfield Artists, a chap called Phil Simpson. And he's been absolutely fantastic for us. We've worked quite closely together to build a long-term plan. Obviously, Cropredy was part of that. And I think all the stars and the planets aligned and phone calls were made and people had heard the right things at the right time.
Yep.
And it all came together.
That's amazing news, and it's great, and I'm so pleased for you because I can't wait to see you up. Will you be nervous?
Oh yeah, I'm nervous now. Like whenever I remember, I get that sort of fizzy feeling. Of, oh my goodness me! I think when I'm actually there and I walk out on stage, it'll be a really good kind of nervous.
Yeah.
I always think if you're not nervous, there's a problem.
Yeah.
Because if you're nervous, it means you care.
Yeah, absolutely. It keeps you on the edge. It keeps you concentrated, doesn't it? He was too laid back. You'd be worried about that. And the slot you've got, you are on, what day are you on now? I haven't got the post in front.
Friday 11th.
Friday 11th, yeah. And what time are you going on?
I think we're first on. So I think that's noon.
Midday, Friday the 11th. Oh, that is a great spot. Because I'll tell you why that's a great spot. It's because they open the field about half past 11, don't they? And I love it when I open the field because everyone queues outside. So I sit and watch this and I absolutely love it because they all queue up down the side of the field and then they open the door and the sound man plays the Benny Hill theme music. And all these people are running in with their chairs.
It's brilliant. I can just imagine the first year they did that, they were looking out at all these people running in like, oh, imagine the Benny Hill soundtrack playing.
Exactly.
Then we've got a big PA, you know. Anyone got Spotify? Whack it on.
Exactly what happened. And now it's changed slightly. They've got another one now, which I can't remember which one it is. It's very similar to the Benny Hill theme. And it makes them almost run along in time. Like, you know, jog along with their chairs. You're going to be like, it's a brilliant spot to do because everyone would be just so excited to get there and sit down, get their chair. Plus, there'll also be quite a lot of people that will probably with you just go straight up to the front. And on that day, it just so happens, guys, that you are releasing last night your new album.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's release day.
What a lovely day to release it.
It is. I've got a cunning plan to quote Blackadder or Baldrick. hopefully Blackadder, otherwise it'll go wrong. Although it didn't work out for either of them and ended it. So the plan is to try this time and get an album in the official charts. So it's the first album I've registered. And so I'll be asking everybody to head over to Bandcamp, download a copy, because apparently only downloads count now. CD sales no longer count. But if we can get enough downloads on Bandcamp, you never know, we might chart.
That would
So
be
that is the dream.
absolutely brilliant, wouldn't it? Without fail, what you probably will do is when you finish your performance and you go over to the merch stall, you'll probably be selling a lot of albums on that day. So I hope
I've
you've
been
got
told.
a big carrier bag.
Yeah, well, I did ring up Steve actually, who does the merchandise, and I said, well, I've got this many LPs and this many CDs. Shall I bring them? And he said, well, those numbers are quite low, Josh. And I was like, well, that's all I've got. Sorry. So I'll bring everything I have, and hopefully I'll go home without any of it.
I think you'll go home with nothing, just a nice little bag of cash for you, which would be absolutely lovely. So, Glass Night, it is, it actually harks back to an old folk tale, doesn't it? That title of that album of modern day life's foibles, in a way, doesn't it? That's what it basically means, the Glass Night. Can you explain a bit about that story?
Yeah, so loads of songs that I do are accidentally handed to me on a platter by my mother-in-law, who buys me books and says, you should write a song about this. And every time she says it, it's a winner. So I need to keep
Really?
listening. She
Wow.
gave me a book of Essex folk tales, and one of the stories in there was called The Glass Night, and it takes place in or near Saffron Walden, which is bizarre because that's the place where my wife and her siblings grew up. And it is the story of a village. I guess that the town is being attacked by a basilisk, and it's a bit like Medusa in the fact that if it looks at you, then you're killed instantly, not turned to stone, but killed. So they try and find a way of defeating the basilisk, and they need a glass knight because he's covered in mirrors. So when the basilisk looks at the glass knight, it, is destroyed. But then I thought, how can I give this a really dark twist? Because I wasn't satisfied with the ending. At the end, they just put up his armor in the local church and all sing a happy song. I thought, no, that's not a folk song. We need to make it darker. So I thought, what if the people see themselves reflected in his glass armor and see how awful they are inside, and they destroy the glass knight, they stamp him and crush him into the ground, and that's the end. So
Wow.
pretty, but I thought really it's kind of a metaphor for the way I can see society going these days, especially English, well, British society. We love to build people up and then bring them down again. We
Yeah,
love to
ah, oh, terrible.
find faults with other people. And I often think there's this real hypocrisy of, if you look to any of the people who are dishing out the dirt, I reckon 9 times out of 10, they're not so squeaky clean themselves. I think
Absolutely.
everybody needs to realize that, none of us are perfect. And in a way, that's what Glass Night's really about.
Yeah, and it only breeds bad things because if somebody's doing that to you, you want to get them back. Somebody get a terrible thing. One thing's for sure though, on Folkin.com, we're not going to build Joshua Burnell up and knock down, mate. We're going to keep boosting you and promoting you as much as we can. I'm
So
certainly
the glass
looking.
won't come true. Good.
Oh man, I'm really looking forward to seeing you. And I would say at this point, good luck with the album, but I don't need to because I know that it's going to be a huge success for you. I think it's going to chart. I reckon it will, what I'll do is I'll just get all my mates to Bandcamp it.
Oh, great.
Hundreds
Thank you
of them.
very much.
I'll send a big mail out to everybody I know in the world ever.
Thank you very much. Yes, this is what we need.
Get to do a download of the album and then we'll see you in the charts, I'm sure of it, mate.
Appreciate that. Thank you very much.
It's been a pleasure talking to you and I could personally carry on talking to you for ages and ages, but our bandwidth on Folkin.com doesn't like it. And I'm later on talking to Adam Wakeman later on today.
Oh, all right. Last time I saw him was in the basement at City Screen in York.
Oh, really? Wow.
Say hello to him for me. In fact, I'm going back there today, so
All right,
there we
yeah,
go.
because Wilson and Wakeman obviously are playing Cropperty, and I'll be talking to them later on this evening in this very studio. But thanks for talking to me, Josh. Really enjoyed
Absolute
talking to
pleasure.
you. Can't wait to see you at Fairport. And see you later there. See you up on that stage.
See you later on.
Thanks, mate. Cheers. Bye
No
now.
worries.